we are graced with the presence of Super Bowl champion and Lions sideline reporter extraordinaire T.J. Lang, still very happy that his alma mater beat Don Brown's UMass Redmen.
Big win.
Yes.
Big win.
They still call the Red. I don't even know what they're called.
The Minutemen.
Minutemen. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not Point of Minutemen.
Yes.
It's good Saturday, bad Sunday.
Yeah. Can you remember a defense that's been that bad?
No. I mean, against, look, I've seen some bad defensive performances against really good offenses.
Yeah.
But Seattle.
It's a team that scored 15 points a game right. coming into to this game.
Yeah. It was just. It was bad. It was horrific. It was embarrassing. I mean, I don't think breaking any news
no.
here, but it's like, you know, normally when I get home after the game, I go back and rewatch it, and I was just, I mean, I didn't even bother. No. I'm like, I'm just so disgusted. I don't want to watch that again. You know, but the one thing that bothered me post-game was, you know, with Coach Campbell kind of throwing Goff under the bus about the pick six,
yeah.
and, well, if we're in a shootout, we got to score. It's like, well, what's more realistic? Asking your offense to score every single possession or asking your defense to get one freaking stop?
The guy didn't punt.
Like, are you kidding me? You didn't punt one time. The only time you stopped them is when they missed a field goal.
Right. I went through the drive chart. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, missed field goal, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, end of game.
Yeah, knees. See
yes.
ya. Kicked your ass. See ya.
It's unbelievable.
We're heading back to Washington. I mean, it was just, it was embarrassing. I just think this defense, look, they don't seem like they're playing with a lot of confidence. And the one big thing that's very evident is they don't have any dogs on that side of the ball.
No.
They don't. They don't have that one guy that
Where's
can
grit?
Take it over, right, when things are going bad. Who's getting the guys ready on the sideline? Who's rallying the troops? Who's yeah. going out there and making plays? They don't have it on any level. And it's a concern. I mean, it's concerned. I don't know if – trying to think about this, like, was the writing on the wall for this to happen? I mean, did we expect...
Should we have seen it
like,
coming?
Were our expectations, like, just unrealistic? I mean, you look at this defense, and how is it any different than last year?
Right, we knew...
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we should have... I feel like we should have seen this coming. I don't know why we're so surprised by it.
We knew the defense was going to be worse than the offense. That we knew going in. But we kind of maybe were blinded by they're going to try a different scheme, be more of an attack-style defense, when, in hindsight, with the lack of talent that they have on defense... They're probably better off playing the scheme that they had last year, which was Ben not break very often.
Well, just give up 5 yards of play and try to lock it down in the red zone.
They got
completely outcoached yesterday. They did. Yeah. Aaron Glenn got completely outcoached by Shane Waldron.
I mean, they
came in and what was the talk all week? We got to stop the run, right? Rashad Penny rushed for 170 on us last year. We're stopping the run. What did Seattle come in and do? Play action,
think
boot,
and dunk.
Boot. Mm-hmm. And they just knew that Detroit was going to be so revved up on stopping the run that guys were going to over pursue. Guys were going to get out of their lanes. Guys were going to do something to stop the run. And then it was a great plan by Seattle coming
and then,
in and
then,
the play action.
And then on the plays where they did run the ball, where the Lions needed to stop, they couldn't stop the run on Penny's 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, well, that's been an MO all season. I mean, through 4 games, right? Philly, with how bad that game went. You know, you had Philly in a 3rd-and-2 there late in the game, down 3.
Yeah.
You got 2 guys making contact in the backfield, and, you know, I think it was Miles Sanders bounces off, goes for 20 yards.
Yesterday,
you get a 3rd-and-5 touchdown. Even at the end of the game, you still get a chance with a minute left. You still got a timeout. It's 3rd-and-5.
Boom.
Over. Yeah, let me ask you this question, TJ.
Wait till next week. Damien Harris and Stevenson, they're going to rush down their throats next week.
Yeah. So if we're looking for an answer for who should be the leader of that defense, who should be that dog, I'm not of the belief that, or I am of the belief, that it's not a guy in his first 2 years in the league because they just don't understand enough yet. Second year, you should understand more.
Yeah.
Who, when you look at that roster, who do you expect to step up and say, and be that leader on the sidelines or leader in the locker room, leader in the meeting rooms, whatever it is? Do we have that guy?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I was trying to watch the sideline yesterday after the defense kept coming off the field, and like they were literally just sitting on the bench staring at the ground. Like, I didn't see one guy. I think I saw Josh Woods, 51, who's a special team guy, mm-hmm. kind of walking around and trying to get the guys like
Where's
fired
Rockers?
Up. But it's like, they're just sitting there, and the coaches are all just sitting there staring at the iPads, and it's like, I didn't see. I didn't see any fire. I didn't see any juice.
No.
And that was like, oh, my God. Like, this is concerning, especially after, you know, last week. You got a chance to get back to 2-2, and it just they looked flat. Defensively, they looked like they were not ready to play. And I'll tell you, the one guy, John, I think maybe he's new, so anytime you switch teams, it's kind of tough, right? You got to perform and you got to produce before the guys really start to, you know, buy into the rah-rah type, is Deshaun Elliott. I mean, he hits people. He's a thud guy. I mean, he's kind of he could be that spark type dude where you need a big hit and bam, sometimes that gets the rest of the defense going. But I don't know. I mean, it's a concern. I just didn't see, I mean, when things started going bad, I got to be honest with you, I didn't see any leaders take over.
What is the body language of Michael Brockers on the sideline? Because he's a guy that we have all talked about, you and I as veteran players, that even though he's coming in late in his career, should be a guy that can be a leader in the meeting rooms, in the weight rooms, on the practice field.
That's why they got him.
Right. And so, but where is he? What value is he giving to this team right now?
I didn't really notice. And be honest with you, I mean, there were, like, does anybody have, like, the snap count? I'm sure we could look it up. Like, it seems like he doesn't even play that much. You know what I mean? Like, every time I kind of look over who's on the field, it's, you know, Mike Brocker's kind of always on the sideline.
He
goes in for first down, and then he comes out. He's like only in on their base package, you know, when the other team's got big personnel out there.
But Brocker's played 30 plays, 43% of the snaps.
Right, and I think most of those were like first down run situations. So yeah, he's never really been a pass rush specialist, but you're right, man, and I think that's clearly something that they're going to have to talk about today. And Coach Campbell called him out yesterday, you know, how our leader's going to respond, how our veteran's going to respond, you know, because yesterday just being on the outside, just keeping an eye on those guys on the sideline, and you kept waiting for somebody to do something, and nobody did, and that's just a big concern.
Last year, a little later in the season, they got rid of whatever, they switched responsibilities for Anthony Lynn. You see them doing the same thing for Aaron Glenn? And if so, I mean, where somebody just called, they got to get rid of Aaron Glenn. I said, okay, who on this staff are you comfortable with being the new defensive coordinator? And all those three position groups are all awful.
Yeah, I don't think I'm there yet.
No.
Now when you ask, who else would do that job? I mean, it can't get much worse.
Yes. You can't get worse, but there's not a guy on your staff where you're looking and say, this could be better.
Right.
Yeah,
it could be better.
I mean,
Todd Wash's D-line stinks. The linebacker stinks. That's Shepard. And the DBs, you know, that might be the best of the lot, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not there yet, though.
Okay.
I'm not either. I still think Aaron Glenn's a good coach. I still think the guys respect the hell out of him. You know, last year when you talk about Anthony Lynn, there was a lot behind the scenes that went into that decision as well. So it wasn't just, you know, performance. But with Aaron Glenn, I think, is he still a hell of a coach? I think we're going to find out next week. You know, I think we're going to find out moving forward. And like I heard, you know, Milliken saying earlier, I think this is a crossroad. You know,
how do you
get these guys to respond? And what was so disappointing is that you had a meltdown in Minnesota, okay? Like, you had that game, you gave it away, right? You come back week four, you're hosting Seattle. The energy in the building has been phenomenal this season, which they better start winning or that's going to go away real quick too.
Yeah.
And you're missing so many key guys on offense. That, to me, just screamed defense, man. Just go out there, hold them to 13 points, 17 points. You know, let your offense just kind of do what they do. But to me, it kind of felt like it was going to have to be a defensive game. And for them to go out there and just perform like that, like knowing that your offense needed help.
While your offense was scoring 45 points.
And now the offense scored 45 points, which none of us expected with all those injuries.
No.
But just the mindset going into that game, guys, we got to step it up. We got to take over this game. You know, let's take it off our offense. Don't make them go score 35, 40 points again to win a game. Yeah. Like that was so disappointing that the fact that they just were not ready to go.
Right. And you mentioned next week. I mean, if Aaron Glenn gets, you know, out schemed and out coached by Matt Patricia's offense, I mean, come on, really?
Well, that's what I said. We're going to find out what kind of coach he is. I mean, last year, I think a lot of the praise was he was doing not so much. They weren't a great defense.
No.
But when you looked at what he had to work with,
yeah.
It was like pretty respectable. You know, he's got the guys playing hard and they're playing tough football. And, you know, this year, does he have much more to work with than he did last year?
I think we thought so with
Hutchinson, and we thought so with
Rodrigo,
and we thought so with a couple of these guys. But it's just, I don't know, man. This might be their Denver game from last year or whatever, Philly game, wherever they took the tape out back and buried it.
Yeah, the Philly.
This is going to have to be a similar response.
You look at last year, all right, against Baltimore, all right, they give up 19 points. And, you know, you would look at that offense and say, well, with less talent, they're able to stop a more talented offense with a Mark Andrews.
And
that was week three.
Week three.
Against Minnesota, 19 points. Cincinnati got out of hand. Against L.A., a team that's very prolific, especially last year, they only give up 28 points. And so that's the question I have is, if you can do it and hold teams in check when you have less talent, why can't you do it this year against a team? Geno Smith is not a top 10 quarterback in this league. Yeah, I do. DK Metcalf and
Tyler Lockett.
And Lockett, I think that's a good 1-2 combination at wide receiver. Rashad Penny in the backfield is good, but not great. So, and this offense had only scored, 47 points in the first three games, and then they go off for 48 against you. Like, that's where it's just so unexplainable.
Yeah, and that's, for me, that you can't let the players off the hook either.
No.
I mean, we're going to be honest, this defensive line has been trash couple of weeks.
Yes.
They have been bad.
I know.
Haven't even been close to making a difference in any game.
None of them. I mean, Charles Harris and Aiden's been terrible.
Aiden's better figured out real quick. You can't just run into people in the NFL.
Right.
But, John, if
you're 3 points better than you were last year. You're 3 points better. They gave up 51 to Seattle last year.
Okay, yeah, great.
They're 3 points better. They're showing improvement.
Yeah. I just look at this D-line, John, and you probably think the same. Like, offensive linemen love going against this type of D-line. Oh, all they're going to do is just run into me. Great. All you got to do is hold my point of attack. And
not only that, but
I can bait you into doing
what I want. All right? If we're running a cutback, I'm going to make you think like you beat me across my face.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to take you the direction you want to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to use your momentum, your technique against you.
Yeah. And there just seems like there's too many guys that just run into blocks and just kind of have that mentality of, oh, well, I got my gap, you know. This guy, like, you know, maybe him make a play. Like, at some point, I got my gap, you know, isn't good enough. You got to get off the block and you got to make a play. And they're just not doing it. And that looks, this defense, that Washington first half is starting to look like an anomaly.
How much of that is obviously is going from college to the NFL? Is that coaching? He's got to be, is he taught that?
Well, I think.
I don't know the answer to this.
I mean, I don't know.
Because he's been bad. I mean, let's stay. We all love the kid, but he's been bad.
Yeah, there's almost a sense of trying to do too much. You know what I mean? They're trying to do too much, trying to make every single play. Like he did, like Hutchinson made almost every play in Michigan in college, right? Whether it was a run game, pass game, he had an impact on every play. You got to learn in the NFL, you're not going to do that. You got to pick and choose your times. Hey, if I'm the backside D end and the tackle sprints down the line of scrimmage away from me, that light's got to go off. Oh, maybe it's a bootleg. Oh, maybe it's a rollout, right? I'm not getting blocked. Something's going on. Instead, these guys just sprint down the line of scrimmage like a bull in a china shop, and it's like by the time they figure it out, it's too late. So I think that with the whole defense, it really seems like guys are trying to do too much. You know, they're just flying all over the place, and they're really not playing good football.
248-539-9797. Your calls for TJ, John, and – not even me, because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. 97 won the ticket.